Okay, so let's address this complete car crash of a policy of digital ID. Now, I've had a bit of a rant about this on my Black Belt Secrets channel. I'll link that video below. I also talked about this in my video yesterday on this channel. Today, I'm going to talk a bit more about the law and the legal implications. Now, I've had some time to think about it. And also, I had a lot of people email me about the video yesterday when I talked about the Plaid Note Pro. That's the AI device that records conversations and transcribes them. My apologies. There is now a link to the Plaid Note Pro in the description to that video. I'll link it below this one as well so you can go and see it. But this video is not sponsored. So let's just move on to this, shall we? So I really can't believe, and in all seriousness, despite the somewhat comical rant that I did on my Black Belt Secrets video by the end of it, despite that, in all seriousness, I cannot believe that this is a genuine video, and he says it with a straight face and genuinely thinks it's a good idea, genuinely thinks it's going to be popular. I'm going to talk about the legalities in a minute because I genuinely think that there are some serious legal implications with this, and it may well be unlawful for reasons I come back to. But this is what he says here. He says, our immigration system needs to be fair. What has digital ID got to do with immigration? But hey, he says, that's why we're introducing digital ID. Now, that's farcical because a digital ID is not going to prevent illegal migrants. The whole point of them is they are evading the legal migration routes, such as an airport. Come through an airport, you need a passport, you need a visa. And if you don't have those things, you are returned from wherever you came from. Likewise, you come in on a ship, you still need a passport and things like that. It's a port. It's a passport. That's the whole point. If you work, you've got documents and ID and the right to work documents to do all those kind of things. I've talked about those in my Black Belt Secrets video. I won't dwell on them here. But just if you haven't seen it, it is unbelievable. Listen to this.
For too many years, it's been too easy for people to come here, slip into the shadow economy, and remain here illegally. Because, frankly, we've been squeamish about saying things that are clearly true.
That's rich. Squeamish about saying things that are true. No comment. Let's listen on.
It's not just that it's not compassionate left-wing politics to rely on labour that exploits foreign workers and undercuts fair wages, but the simple fact that every nation needs to have control over its borders.
Every nation needs to have control of its borders, eh? How about we do that? How about we actually get control of our borders? But notwithstanding, digital ID is not going to stop that from happening. They can just pay them in cash if they want to avoid this system. It won't stop. If anything, it will drive it underground. Listen on.
We do need to know who is in our country. Our immigration system does need to be fair if we want to maintain that binding contract that our politics is built on. Otherwise, it undermines trust.
Now, let's talk about fairness for a moment. If anybody knows anybody who is a British citizen and has married somebody from another country, and they want them to come here, the fees and the costs and the time delays and the requirements and the minimum earning requirement and all of these sort of things, not only can it cost close to £20,000 to go through all that process and turn your lives upside down, believe me, I've been through it, to prove that this is a real relationship, to produce phone records for the full duration that you were boyfriend and girlfriend or whatever, and to prove that you've been in that relationship for that period of time, and to then show that you're serious and that you've got plans to live together and all of this sort of stuff, and the minimum earning requirements, and then all the fees and everything else. Unless, of course, someone arrives here on a boat, like tens of thousands of people arrive here on a boat, and I get criticized for talking about migration thing and issues, but this is why many people have an issue with it. Talk about fairness. Talk about it properly. Listen on.
Undermines people's faith that we're on their side and their belief that the state can and will work for them.
For many people, it doesn't. I've had clients, believe me, who have been turned down for reasons they can't understand. And just don't meet the minimum earning requirements for some reason, even though they might own a house outright, but they don't quite earn enough money, even though they have a house paid for. Listen on.
And that is why today I am announcing this government will make a new free of charge digital ID mandatory for the right to work.
So he says to try to tackle illegal migration, to try to make migration fair, to try to make working and wages fair. He says that 55 million adults across the country will have to have a digital ID.
The end of this parliament. Let me spell that out. You will not be able to work in the United Kingdom if you do not have digital ID.
Ladies and gentlemen of my viewership, this is the face of an authoritarian trying to take control of people's lives in this country, if ever I've seen it. Now, let's take a look. Well, if you want to see the reaction to this from MPs across the spectrum, Green Party, the Liberal Democrats, Reform, you know, you name it, even members of Keir Starmer's own party standing and speaking against this digital ID. Now, you can watch this video at your leisure. Honestly, Darren Jones here talking about this as though everyone's going to be excited about it. Read the room. They will not, because countless polls, including my own, this one here, if I refresh it, from 5 hours ago, 23,000 people voted and 97% said no, they won't comply. That's not the only poll that I did on this either. Another poll that I did down here, what do you think of digital ID? Yes, good idea. 4% say that that's a good idea. To be fair to them, they think it's a good idea. But 96% of 51,000 people say no, it isn't. And here's some good reasons why this is a bad idea. Somehow, we lost track. Let me move myself around so you can see the screen. Somehow, they exposed and leaked the details of 19,000 people who were fleeing the Taliban, who were supposed to be protecting. And then there are stories like this one. Hackers behind a nursery cyber attack tell Sky News that they are releasing more data on dozens of children. This group, calling itself Radiant, posted images of children attending a nursery in London on the dark web, demanding ransom money from the company, saying they're going to release more. Can you imagine if they have access to a single data point of data access to every single person in the country, every single adult in the country? Let's take a look at what the law says here, because anything to do with data, it's one of my specialist areas, all come under the data protection principles. Now, we still have GDPR, the UK retained version of GDPR, and of course the Data Protection Act. Now, there are key principles. So without bogging down too much in the detail here, this really does set out a broad spectrum of understanding for data protection. Now, in order to be lawful, processing of data, processing just means storing, copying, sending, analyzing, pretty much doing anything with any personal data. And it is personal data is if it's information that relates to an identifiable individual. So your visual appearance, your face is personal data because you can be identified by it. Your name, your address, your phone number, your email, your vehicle VRM registration mark, any other information which, if by itself or taken together with anything else, can identify an identifiable individual, then it's personal data. And this includes jigsaw identification. And that means you take one bit of information from here, another bit of information from somewhere else, and put these things together, and then you can identify somebody. That is jigsaw identification. Children are particularly susceptible to jigsaw identification because of generally smaller networks such as schools and groups and clubs and things like that that they go to. So in order to process it lawfully, we have a framework that we must comply with in order to be processing this data lawfully. And this sets out these seven key principles. And this is available on the ICO website. And why I ultimately think this digital ID may well fall to be unlawful. And I suspect it will be challenged in court in any event. That is, if they do try to roll it out. Now, they will make the argument that it's necessary and it's fair and there's reasons for it. But there are reasons that that just falls away. Now, these key principles, it must be lawful. There must be a lawful basis for doing so. Now, they will have to set out what is the reason? What is the lawful reason that they want to process all this data on you? They will have to set that out. It has to be fair. Is it fair to enforce every single person to have one of these digital IDs? Probably not, because if you want to drive, you get a driving license, fair enough, and you register with the DVLA. If you want to work, you have to have a national insurance number. And if you're from abroad, you need a right to work and all these sort of things. And transparency, they have to be clear about what it is they're processing and why. And working backwards, when it is transparent and you know everything that they are processing and why they're processing it, is that then fair? And is it then lawful? They all work together in tandem. Purpose limitation. Generally, it can only be used for the purposes that it's gathered for. So if you give your name and details so that a company can send you a product, that's all they should be used for, unless you've opted in, and that's deliberately opt in to marketing and things. They cannot just sell your data to other companies and things like that. And I feel very strongly about this. This is why this video is not sponsored, but I am very careful with whom I sponsor on my channels here. That is why I partner with Incogni and Nord, and I do have discounts for them there below. This video is not sponsored. But in light of all this, it is absolutely relevant. But data minimization, they should only be storing the minimum amount of data that is necessary to fulfill whatever legal requirement. My argument there is they don't need any more information. They don't need a digital ID. You don't need it currently to work. You don't currently need it to get served by the NHS. You don't currently need it to drive or anything else. You don't need it for that. So data minimization, I think that is a strong problem for them. Accuracy, obviously, it needs to be accurate. There is a significant scope for inaccuracy, which is multiplied by 55 odd million adults that would be registered. Storage limitation, where it's stored, how it's stored, for how long it's stored, and the security that it's stored with. And as you've just gathered, if they fail to keep safe the details of 19,000 Afghans freeing the Taliban, this doesn't fill anybody with any great deal of confidence. Integrity, confidentiality, same things we've just discussed, and accountability. Who ultimately is responsible for it? Now, at the moment, with the greatest respect, if we can't trust the government to honour its own promises and do things within the manifesto and not outside of the manifesto, and when each of them made promises leading up to the election, and we can't trust them, as it would seem, to keep those promises, accountability, who's accountable for anything that might go wrong with digital ID? There are all sorts of problems here. And so these key principles set out, not least of which when we overlap those with the right to privacy that we have under Article 8, a right to private family life, if they plan, which I can assure you they will, to use this digital ID, not just for your employment, where you work, when you work, and all those kind of things, it will then say, well, it's really convenient for you to then use it to prove who you are to go and buy things. Let's say you want to buy alcohol. I don't drink anymore, but if you wanted to buy alcohol, you'll prove your age. That's really convenient, they will say. And therefore, they'll roll it out to shops. And then before you know it, they will be keeping data points on everything you buy, everywhere you go. And if it's on your phone, which they say is going to be on a phone, an app to prove who you are easily, they say, with your phone, then it's quite likely going to track your each and every movement wherever you go, which again, coming back to these data principles here, lawful, fair, transparent, purpose limitation, data minimization, confidentiality, all these sorts of things. Someone somewhere will have access to where you are, where you go, how often you go, what you buy. Can you imagine one person having access to the location of other individuals because it's tracked by some kind of digital ID, and then all of the sort of scandals that will come out and ruin people's lives and things like that? Again, complete breach of privacy here. And all sorts of different reasons that this is just a terrible, terrible idea. And the idea that the state could then say, well, you've done this wrong. Let's say that they automatically, because one of the arguments I put in my video yesterday, they said they can automatically calculate the tax that you owe. Take that step further. What if they say, we've calculated the tax we think you owe and you haven't paid enough, therefore we're cutting you off access to your full salary from work, or we're cutting you off from travel even. Believe me, these are great extents that they could well go to if they have digital ID in place, because they will be able to not just follow you around, but cut off your access to certain things and curtail your access and freedom to the extent that it forces cooperation. That is why I say, in my personal opinion, what Starmer is saying here is an authoritarian dictatorship style regime leading to this digital ID. Now, this is certainly not something that the vast majority of people in this country will want. So I urge you, leave me your thoughts below. There is a petition currently. It's running now at 1.16 million votes. I think there's around 100,000 when I first included it in a video. 1.1 million votes now to say do not introduce digital ID cards. This may well hit a record. We'll see how many people sign it and see what happens in a debate. But I think, as usual, they'll just say the usual rubbish, that this is a great idea and that it's somehow going to help with immigration. But those are my reasons I'm concerned with regard to a data protection standpoint. And personally, I think this will be challenged in court as being in complete contrast and conflict with the Data Protection Act, GDPR, and so on. It's just not necessary. It is far too much. It is far too far reaching. And it breaks each of these data protection principles, in my view. Let me know what you think in the comments below. Do go and watch my rant over on Black Belt Secrets. And check out my video from yesterday with a bit more on this as well. Honestly, unbelievable. We've reached a point now where I think this is genuinely unbelievable. But thank you for watching all the same. I'll see you in the next one.